Welcome to the AICPA Sustainability Initiative Podcast Series, a resource dedicated to sustainability accounting and the triple bottom line of economic viability, social responsibility, and environmental responsibility. In addition to preservation of the physical environment and stewardship of natural resources, sustainability considers the economic and social context of doing business and also encompasses the business systems, models, and behaviors necessary for long-term value creation.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the AICPA Sustainability Initiative. My name is Ken Witt. I am a technical manager with the AICPA Business, Industry, and Government team, and I lead our sustainability initiative here at the AICPA. The goal of our initiative and these podcasts is to provide thought leadership, tools, and resources that you need to be informed and develop your knowledge and skill base in sustainability accounting and reporting. I have with me today David Blackwell, President and CEO of Sustainable Business Development Services, LLC. David previously served as VP and CFO for the Global Procurement Division and Strategy VP for the International Retail Division of Walmart. David was the keynote speaker for both our AICPA National CFO Conference last spring and also for the inaugural Sustainability Workshop presented in the AICPA boardroom in New York City in collaboration with CICA, the Canadian Institute of Chartered Accountants, on September 30th and October 1st, 2010. David, thanks for joining me today for this podcast conversation. Could you tell us a little bit about your company, Sustainable Business Development Services, and what you're doing currently?
Thanks, Ken. I work with both commercial and nonprofit organizations to assist them address their sustainability in the broadest sense. I identify trends in the technology, geopolitical, social, and environmental arenas that could impact their current business models. We then work to develop new business opportunities and or make operational changes so that they can achieve greater economic benefits and continued relevance in the marketplace.
All right, thanks. You're sort of a big picture guy then. So let's start at the 50,000 foot level. Can you share with us what you see are some of those key global trends that are driving sustainability?
Yes, there are five, I believe, that are the most important to business, and they are very interrelated. Number one is population and urbanization. Number two is natural resources. Number three is conflict. Number four is technology. And finally, number five is corporate social responsibility and sustainability. First is population and urbanization. It's the combination of population and urbanization that will really concentrate pressure on the environment and impact lifestyles in the 21st century. We've all heard that the global population will increase by 1.5 billion over the next 20 years, with most of that growth occurring in the developing countries. But what a lot of people are still not considering is the future impact of urbanization. In 1950, less than 30% lived in urban areas. It is now approaching 50% and is projected to be 60% or 5 billion people in 2030. Natural resources are being depleted at a faster rate, not only by the increasing population, but by the growing middle class in the developing countries and their increasing demands for the products and the lifestyle that we enjoy in the developed nations. Of course, when there's not enough resources, conflicts are likely to arise. But they will take many forms. Of course, war over resources is always a possibility. Today, oil is a major driver of U.S. foreign policy, but food and water may be causes in the future. Terrorism will likely increase, not just based on religion, but also in resentment for exploitation of resources in the developing countries. More uprisings in trade protectionism, like what we saw in 2008 with the spike in food prices. There were food riots in 15 countries. And food surplus producing countries like Argentina and Vietnam, worried about feeding their own populations, place restrictions on exports. Finally, legal and political interventions, such as what we recently witnessed with the BP oil spill in the Gulf. Technology is the platform fueling globalization. With the internet enabling expanded flows of information, technology, goods, services, and people throughout the world. It is the overarching megatrend that is and will continue to impact everyone and everything. Even more transformational than technology itself, though, is the shift in behavior that it is enabling. Geography no longer constrains social and economic activity, and we are now seeing the power of social media. And within this dynamic of all the global environment that is kind of outlined above, companies will not only have to deal with how to evolve to stay in business, but the demands on them for greater corporate social responsibility and participation in the sustainability of the communities in which they operate will continue to increase. And in addition to the social and environmental expectations, I believe the consequences of unethical behavior and poor governance will become even greater.
Thanks, David. That's pretty much a perfect storm of significant drivers for driving sustainability. So how is it that you see these global trends translating into business impact? So what happens on the ground in businesses? How do you see it going forward?
Yeah, I think the global trends directly affect four major arenas, which then further lead to potential impacts to business models, governance, and reputation of companies. The four arenas are supply chain, customers, competitors, and the regulatory environment. First, in the supply chain, surety of supply of raw materials and products will become even more challenging. And it won't be just the price of raw materials, but whether companies will even have access to them at all. We are seeing countries competing with companies today for resources for their populations, especially in Africa. The recent commodity and food price spikes a few years ago were a wake-up call to many countries with limited natural resources. Second, customers. We're seeing significant changes in the demographics and expectations of them. Growth will be occurring in the developing countries, and the populations there are getting younger, while those in the developed nations are getting older. But even more important is their access to information and growing capability to impact a company through social media. They are no longer constrained by where they live to compare products and prices and to purchase them. In addition, they have greater awareness of a company's entire supply chain and how their products are made, by whom, what's in them, the quality of their operations and services, and even their social and environmental impacts. And whether that information is accurate or not that they get, they can mobilize thousands on the internet in a matter of hours to spread that information and create perceptions of companies. New competitors, they're able to overcome historical barriers to entry due to the rapidly evolving technology. New models of knowledge and distribution are emerging, and even more important, competitive forces that could impact companies might not even come from within their own industry. So two examples for the internet retail doesn't require brick-and-mortar stores to reach customers. And the iPhone applications have raised expectations of customers on both the availability and customization of information and services that cut across all business sectors. The fourth arena is regulatory. Regulations are typically in response to something, so the global trends and changes in societal expectations will drive them. Consider examples of carbon cap and trade, food safety and nutrition, product safety, waste and disposal, and privacy and data security. We see these all the time now in the headlines in all of these areas. And it's the actions or inaction of a company that could hinder or cripple their business model. So based on the above, it is clear to see how the governance and reputation can be impacted in the business world. But business models can and will be impacted in many ways. So let's just take one example and demonstrate how several of these trends can impact an industry. Consider if you're in the lumber/paper industry. Technology is driving down demand by historical major customers, such as book and magazine publishers, and it's also eliminating products that required packaging, such as CDs and DVDs. The sustainability movement is driving reduced packaging on the remaining products. Population growth will increase demand for homes, but they will be smaller due to more people living in urban dwellings. And the growth will also increase demand for food, which is driving deforestation for agriculture, and NGOs are on you for cutting down trees due to increasing CO2 in the atmosphere. So you can imagine what their enterprise risk management meetings are like.
It's pretty complex.
It is.
So David, given your background at Walmart, your supply chain experience and expertise is especially deep. I know that. So let's drill down on that particular area. What are a few key things that our listeners can take away today about sustainability in relation to their supply chains? What do they need to be paying attention to?
I think there are three major takeaways, in my opinion. Number one, the historical supply chain paradigm provided limited transparency and accountability for companies. You know, if you can imagine a chain, it's comprised of individual links, and those links do not have any connectivity with other links other than the ones on each side of it. So, however, customer and governmental expectations have changed that paradigm. Companies are now expected to be aware of and are being held accountable for their entire supply chains. So it's very important that they create that connectivity from the farm to the fork, for example. The second is that the entire supply chain is an opportunity to improve the economic, social, and environmental impacts and benefits, not only for the companies, but also for its stakeholders. From product concept and design to the components used in them, how they're manufactured, packaged, and transported, to ultimately how they are disposed or recycled. The increasing goal and necessity in the 21st century, again, as we see natural resources declining, will be to get as close to zero waste as possible through eliminating waste in the product design and manufacture, but also recycling and remanufacturing what is left. And this is usually referred to as close the loop. And then third, due to the complexity of the first two points, the need for companies to engage, and truly engage all stakeholders through their supply chain is really imperative. This includes suppliers, the manufacturers, government agencies, customers, NGO, and even their employees. They need to be part of the solutions because there are many competing factors on which trade-offs will have to be made. So it's important for everyone to see the overall net impact of decisions and to come up with the best ideas and innovations.
Thanks, David. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the conversation today?
Ken, I think I will close with one thought and one quote. The thought is that the only difference between necessity and opportunity is when you see change relative to everyone else. If companies aren't willing to challenge their basic business models in the rapidly changing global environment, then the risk to their sustainability is great. The quote I'd like to use is by Andrew Witty, the CEO of GlaxoSmithKline. He says, "We should never take for granted our right to exist. Our business model is not written into any country's constitution. So we work every day with the mindset that we are earning the right to exist. We are earning it by meeting the expectations of society." When you start to think like this, you see the world differently.
Thanks. That's a terrific quote. And so thanks, David, for sharing your insights with us today. And thanks to our listeners. We hope you found this podcast to be interesting and informative. You can find additional podcast conversations and other sustainability-related resources geared to the CPA profession at aicpa.org/sustainability.
A.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance